is the tail end of a message that I never finished, and I've been waiting for the right time, and it's really another current event type sermon. And I began this series on dreams. I had one more to go and never got done. A bunch of things happened, and every time I tried to give it, the Lord moved something else in. So today is the day. God-given dreams, another sign of the last days. Did you know that? Did you ever look at dreams, the intensity of dreams picking up before Jesus comes, being a sign in the last days? I can prove it by the word very easily. So how many of you have been just lately, maybe in the last month or two, having the most wild dreams? Am I the only one? Of course. Of course. You know it says, and I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. Verse 17, very familiar passage. I read it last week. I opened the service with it, not knowing that they had coined the term Pentecost Sunday for the very last Sunday of May. But Acts 2:17, and this is where Peter is quoting out of the prophet Joel. And the book of Joel is very good to read, especially now in the days we're living in. I scratch my head, and I really want to get this out online and everywhere, that preachers, you need to quit just giving cutesy sermons. You need to start getting into Bible prophecy now. You need to quit avoiding the book of Revelation. You need to quit avoiding prophecy. We are closer to the return of Christ than ever before. And so many ministers avoid these kinds of things, and here we are, closer to Jesus returning than ever before. So stop avoiding it. Quit being afraid that you're going to scare your congregation. They need to be prepared because we're living through things now. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Everybody say last days. Last days. Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And how many of you know that what God meant when he said he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh, he's not saying that all flesh is going to get saved and go to heaven. He's pouring out his spirit because the preaching of the gospel is going around the world, and Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So he's giving everybody a chance. He's pulling people towards him. So he's pouring his spirit out to those who will respond. And then he quantifies it. And your sons and your daughters, those that are his, shall prophesy. Young men will see visions, old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, and guess what? That's men and women. That's men and women. Don't let anybody ever tell you that a woman is not supposed to prophesy. What does the word say? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now we're going into future tense because more perilous times are coming. God is doing everything he can to wake us up. And Satan is doing everything he can to destroy us. And you have to know the difference. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And here is where we're at. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Church, tell me what that name is. Jesus. Say it louder.
Jesus.
Because that just scares the devil away. We don't want him in here. We don't even want him peeking in the windows. The Bible clearly proclaims, as we are in the last days, that His Holy Spirit will move frequently in prophecy, visions, and dreams. Visions and dreams are closely related. And that day, our brother Peter proclaimed that those last days began. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, because they saw the Holy Ghost outpour. So now we are what we call in the church age, in the age of grace. And a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So maybe we're in day two, I don't know. But these, if they were in the last days at the start there in Pentecost, when the church was birthed in fire and power, how much more are we in the very last of the last days? You know that clock the world talks about? They always call it a nuclear clock, you know, and sometimes they say it's at 2 till 12. It's at 3 till 12. Well, it just moved up. Guess what? On God's timetable, from what I see in Matthew 24, it is just before midnight, the darkest hour. Go to Job chapter 33. Then you're going to say, wow, what a strange parallel to go from Acts to Job, because we know what Job went through. Job 33, verse 14. It'll make sense in a minute. It'll make sense in a minute. Because as we are in these last days, God is going to continue to speak to the church and get the church's attention. And from what I understand in Scripture, when we look at the parable of the 10 virgins, only 50% wake up with oil in their lamps. The other half don't. How many of you want to be the 50% that has oil and oil in an extra vessel, right? Well, I know the one who can give it to you, and it's time to ask him for it now, not wait till the midnight cry. Job 33, verse 14, and I read this months ago, "For God may speak in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction." And if you read on, he talks about one of the purposes to save you from danger. There's reasons. So he clearly says, "I have chosen to speak to you in dreams." And these aren't. This isn't just a metaphor. This isn't just a I'm looking for that word. It's not symbolic, because he says, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds." So he's talking about real dreams, people. Because sometimes when we're in our waking hour, we're busy on our jobs, we're doing this and that and the other. I believe that he sometimes has trouble getting our attention. Now your body's down, you're unconscious. Now he can speak to you. And you may say, "Kevin, some of my dreams are bizarre." I've talked about this before. What do you do when you dream that you swallow the neighbor's cat, right? Because let's face it, we have these crazy dreams. But I believe they are not without meaning. When Pharaoh dreamed of corn devouring each other and cows devouring each other, he could have just passed it off as weird food he ate the night before. But it had a meaning that famine was coming. So dreams, you should not dismiss them. You shouldn't run off and just decide on your own what they mean either. I'm going to talk about that in this message. Dreams have been given to men and women all through time from God. We find them in both Old and New Testaments alike. And several months ago, I gave you several examples in the Old Covenant and the New where God spoke to people in a dream, even warning Joseph and Mary to flee Egypt in a dream because Pharaoh was out after Jesus. Imagine God coming to you in a dream tonight and asking you, "What do you want?" And he would give it to you. How would you like to have a dream like that? God appears to you in whatever form he chooses to, and he says, "If you tell me what you want, I'll give you whatever you want." Wouldn't that be neat? I'm not going to take a poll. I don't know what you might ask for, right? But it would be surprising. Sounds like a good plan, yet that is what he did for Solomon. That's exactly what he did. He appeared to Solomon in a dream, and Solomon gave the right answer. He wanted wisdom above everything. And with wisdom, God gave him all the other desires of his heart in such abundance. In fact, the Bible says Solomon was the wealthiest man on earth, and there wouldn't be any that wealthy following him. But Solomon sought first the kingdom and wisdom. And God did it in a dream. Since dreams involve the soul and the spirit, God has access to you through them. But be warned, the enemy can work in the soulish realm as well. You have to know the difference. And that's one of my main themes in finishing this message today. You have to know the difference. While Satan can't have access to you like God does, he has access to the mind, right? And the soulish realm. If you have been dabbling in things you shouldn't, and if you've been walking in the flesh, now you got this stuff in here, and he has access to all those areas of the inner man that you have opened the door to. Do you know that? So not every dream you have may be of God. So right away, you need to pray for a precious gift of the Holy Spirit called discernment of spirits. because you don't want to be taken for a ride, because Satan can come to you as an angel of light. Let's go to Zechariah 10:2. I think you'll turn there too. I want us to actually see these things in the Word. Zechariah 10, chapter 10, verse 2. Because everything I say behind this pulpit, if I can't back it up with the Word of God, then it's an iffy thing. It's something may not be true. I know that the enemy can give you a false dream and make it look like God. Zechariah 10:2. I love to hear the rustling of pages, but nowadays people look stuff up on their phone, so that means you brought your Bibles. Zechariah 10:2. And don't feel bad if you have to look at the index and see what page it's on. Nobody's paying attention to you, and they're not going to say, oh, that person may or may not know their Bible. I have to do it all the time, especially when I get a different Bible. Zechariah 10:2 says, "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners," or diviners, "have seen a lie, and they have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd." There is something called false dreams. And I want you to remember, dreams and visions are very closely related. A vision is more like a waking dream. It's I think Dan used to call his dreams and visions like that, night visions. So they're very closely related. How many of you ever had a real powerful vision while you were awake and you were taken to a different place and it seemed like you were there? It's like a waking dream. Now understand that a dream can also be of God as well and can be lost in God's direction if not interpreted correctly. Satan can totally pervert and destroy what God is saying if it isn't interpreted correctly from the Holy Spirit. Now, Pharaoh could have said, oh, that dream could not have been of God if he knew God at the time. They had idols back then. But God nevertheless still gave him a dream, even though he was outside and didn't trust in the God of Israel. God was trying to get his attention. I believe to this day that Egypt had a chance of grace, because when they saw Joseph interpret that dream and it happened, I would have thought the whole country would have wanted to know more about this God of Israel. But Pharaoh had a hard heart. And down the road, as things progressed, God had to just completely, and I could do a sermon that someday, it was out of mercy, he totally hardened his heart. Because to continue to buck God when your heart is not hard makes you more accountable to God. Just think about that one. But he was given a dream from God. So what I want to say here is, often you're given dreams by God, and you might go to a brother or a sister, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, or open up a book about dream interpretation. And because God was trying to speak to you, it got totally derailed because you believed someone with an interpretation of that dream that was not of the Holy Spirit. And so what God was trying to say, Satan can get in there. So it's very important that you pray about the true meaning of a dream. That you pray about it when somebody, if somebody says, and I've even done it before, well, I think it means. Well, if you think it means and you're not sure what thus saith the Lord, then you better clarify that and say, that's just me. You better pray about it. If somebody says, I think it means, or it could mean, or it might mean, they're not speaking from the Holy Spirit. God is not a could, might, maybe, I kind of think. He's not that kind of a God. He's direct, and he knows what he's talking about. So do not be derailed on what God is saying in the dream by a wrong interpretation. And that's a gifting from the Holy Spirit. We see that. Very parallel to the gift of interpreting tongues and things like that. So understand that. We go back to Genesis chapter 40, verse 6. So go back there if you will. I'm going to spend just a little bit of time in Genesis. We're going to look at Joseph. Even under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit moved on this man powerfully. And you want to talk about somebody who suffered unjustly. And this man went through everything. His brothers was jealous of him. They put him in a pit. They sold him off to slavery. He ended up in Egypt as a Hebrew slave. And then Joseph, the Bible just makes no bones about it. He's a very good-looking guy. And Pharaoh's wife started really liking him and wanting him. And so she came on to him, and when he rejected her, she ripped her own clothes and said, look what this Hebrew did to me. And then they put him in prison. Now, he could be in there thinking, God, why is this all happening? What have I ever done? And he may have, because he was human. But his faith held, and he just kept trusting God. And God gifted him with the interpretation of dreams. And it was that gifting, saving all Egypt out of famine, that got him out of prison and exalted him to a very high position in Egypt. And that's how he could save his brothers. I can make this a whole sermon about Joseph. But Genesis 46 through 8, and Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Right answer. Right answer. Interpretations belong. He already recognized that that gifting came from God, and he had it. Tell them to me, please. So he said he was gifted. Each one of them told the dream, and he interpreted it for every one of them. Some was fairly good news, and there's one I think that was not good news to these three men. Joseph said a mighty, powerful truth that interpretations of dreams belong to God. Never forget that. Don't fool around with silly things to interpret your dreams. Books, and I don't know where I put this in my message, but I'm going to talk about it now since I'm talking about it. You can find sometimes, even in Christian bookstores, books that say, interpret your dreams. If you dream of a black cat with a white spot, it means this. If you dream of going down a highway, it means that. Baloney! You can't put God in that kind of a box. Not everybody that God has a special, the interpretation belongs to him. You can't cookie cutter it any more than you can say, I was born in August, so my sign is this, so I have this kind of personality. No way. You may dream of a black cat with a white spot, and God may say it means something particularly to you, and Chet may, and it may mean something different from God. Stay away from those books. They're cookie cutter things. Now, psychologists often have dreams, and if you're going through a troubling time, they're sort of on the right track. But again, be careful. God is the one who has interpreted. Please stay away from them kind of books. You can get a book right beside it, open up the same thing, and they're going to say something totally different. A black cat means you're going to get gray hair earlier in your life. I don't know. I just made that up. That's not an interpretation from the Lord. I just made it up, brother. It better to be gray than falling out like me, all right? Excuse me. So, don't do that. You have to get that interpretation from the Holy Spirit, from a Spirit-filled individual that has a track record of hearing God's voice, or you yourself, because there's nothing wrong with going to somebody gifted from the Holy Spirit that has a good track record, and they are accurate with the Lord, and they hear His voice. But please stay away from that stuff. Be cautious. And people are making a lot of money on that. I could do that. I could write a book like that. Ain't gonna do it. Later, Pharaoh had a very weird dream, and I mentioned this earlier. And since they knew Joseph was gifted from God to interpret, he also called on Joseph for help. Go to Genesis 41, one chapter over. Genesis 41, 14 through 16. Because now Joseph has the reputation of hearing from the one true God, being accurate in the Holy Spirit, not being flaky. Like I always, sometimes I used to say, I'd hear somebody and then I'd go, flaky. Right? You got to weed this. We're in the last days. You got to really, where God's giftings are increasing and getting more intense, Satan is doing all he can to counterfeit them. Doesn't mean you run from the giftings. It means you dig down to your strike oil and operate in the real thing, and Satan's gifts will diminish. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And I told you why he ended up there. How sad. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream. And there is no one who can interpret it. but I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. In other words, he's saying, what I'm going to tell you is not me. Again, interpretations belong to who? They belong to God. They belong to God. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He warned Pharaoh to store up corn. You know, the cows swallowing each other, the ears of corn swallowing each other. Have you ever had a dream that your ears of corn were swallowing each other? Well, you never had a famine. That's good. But I don't know if that's what that always means. It might mean something different to Chet, right? From God. Some of you here today are given dreams. Some meanings will be very obvious. Others will require prayer and patience to get the right interpretation of them. Do not get in a hurry. Your dream might be something that's going to you're going to need a year from now, and you won't forget the dream. You won't forget the dream. But have patience and seek the right interpretation. You say, Kevin, how do I know what's right? You pray about it too. The Lord has a way of vindicating an answer to be of Him. You will know it. But until you know it and have peace that you know, continue to wait and continue to seek. Don't get a false interpretation and be led astray. Dreams give direction from God. They can also be a warning for you or someone else. They can be prophetic and show you what is to come. Or God might send you a special blessing in the Spirit, a visitation of an angel or Himself as He did Solomon. He also can take you places in the Spirit as well for a specific purpose. Did you know that? Paul said, well, I got the scripture here. Go to 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. And I don't want you to think I'm getting into Weirdsville here. But you are made up of a soul and a spirit. And we gave everyone a warning when Michael came and talked about that realm and how God takes him in the spirit at different places. We rejoice, but there's also the warning, don't try to do that on your own. God has to do that. He has to be the captain of your soul and spirit. If He has a place to take you in the spiritual realm, let Him do it. Don't try to do it in the flesh or you will end up messed up. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 4. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. This is St. Paul talking. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord, which is what I'm doing just today, coming to visions and revelations of the Lord. Then he says this, kind of a mysterious place of 2 Corinthians. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Right there, you're thinking, huh? He knew somebody 14 years ago, but he didn't know whether he knew him in his body or out of it. Now, some people believe he's talking about himself, and that could be true about that other man. But it almost sounds like he's talking about somebody else. But he did not know whether it was in the natural man or whether God took him in the spirit. And you can find those kinds of cases all through the New Covenant, the New Testament. When Peter got the vision from Macedonia, come help us. They visited him in the spirit and said, come help us, come help us. And we see this all the way through. So Paul has this experience. He knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether, and then he says it again, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. So there is, you are made up of a soul and a spirit, and if in a dream He takes you to a faraway country, and in your dream, you're witnessing to somebody in another country and even speaking their language. Don't be surprised if He literally did that in the spirit and somebody really saw a person and got witnessed to. Right? Have anybody had that experience? I think, Mickey, you were witnessing to somebody in a dream. That's what got me thinking about this scripture. But God orchestrates that. He does that. He's in charge of your soul and spirit if you belong to Him. And we can't limit Him. He says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. There are places in the spiritual realm, in the different layers of heaven, that God does will for you to come back and tell people about it. John did it in the book of Revelation. There have been people that have seen heaven. I know a woman in Indy, and if I ever, and I know Lynn knows her. She goes to Lakeview, but she was taken to heaven. And I was getting ready to schedule her. I think it's a wonderful story, wonderful actual real-life experience of her experience. But then the pandemic hit, so we're going to reschedule her. She's a fantastic lady. But there are places in the heavenlies that he doesn't want. We're not ready for it. And so I go back and forth. Was this Paul or was this someone else? But I also know he had such revelations that there was a danger of him getting into pride and he had to have a thorn in the flesh. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is your dreams are important. What he does to you in the spiritual realm is important. Know when he's doing it. Remember, he wants to do great and mighty things through you. He says, call unto me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. So don't just diminish your dreams. Don't diminish those visions. But the most important thing I can tell you is put it in the hands of the Lord. So before I close today, I would like to give you some quick instructions concerning the dreams you may have had. It is important to pay attention to these instructions, or Satan will derail what God is doing or saying to you through the dream. So here's a little bit of time of instruction. Number one, always note that because you had a dream, it doesn't necessarily mean it was from God. I think we established that at the beginning of the message. Always pray about it. Two, always seek God for what your dreams really mean. Often there is symbolism in a dream. Other times your dream might be literal, but God is the author, and interpreting dreams accurately is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And that's why he has gifted the church. If you're not yourself gifted, pray for him to bring you somebody who's truly gifted from the Holy Ghost with that gift. We see in the word individuals that were gifted from God to interpret these dreams. Next, never seek anyone out to interpret your dreams if they are not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and interpreting them from the Holy Spirit. Don't go talk to people outside of Christ. There are some things you don't share with people outside of Christ. Interpreting dreams is big business in the world today. Did you know that? You can go in the secular world, don't do it. You can go on Amazon and find gazillions of books on interpreting your dreams. There's big money in that. And you don't want a familiar spirit deceiving you through those interpretations. Next, and this is very important, if someone charges you money to interpret dreams, even if they confess to be a believer and operating in the Holy Spirit, do not do that. Don't allow it. You do not pay for the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And I could go into Acts here. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, your money perishes with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Do not pay money to get your dreams interpreted. Do not pay money to get a prophecy. My goodness, I knew and heard of a woman that charged money for casting out demons. I don't know whether she charged by the, okay, I cast out 10, that'll be 100. I don't know, but that's awful. And people get misguided, and I'm sorry, I have to say it. Look at what Peter said to him. Your money perishes with you because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Did you ever see the early church charging money when they cast out a demon? Or gave somebody a word of knowledge, or laid hands on the sick. Well, I'll lay hands on you, but that'll be $50 if your healing comes. That's horrible. We are in the kingdom of God. Freely you have received, freely give. He says, He says, your money perishes with you because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. And I have to say it, because in the church world today, we have big business cashing in on God. And I can tell you, I am tired of it. I have been tired of it for 20 years, and it's not getting any better. I could go off on a rant. Why do you think we have 5 million different interpretations of the Bible? Every time they come out with a new one, they make a lot of money. Is it accurate? Is it rightly dividing the Word? We can't be careless with the Word of God. And definitely not His Holy Spirit. All it took was a man and a woman to lie to the Holy Spirit, and they dropped dead. New covenant, New Testament. God's a holy God. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Do not, if anybody wants to give you money for a gift of interpreting dreams, you want them to get money, if they want to charge you, avoid it and quote this verse to them. You know, one time, and I haven't told a personal story, I liked some of the things I've went through. Oh, my goodness. Adam and Susie from Evansville, when it's good, they're going to come back up here. I was in ministry. You guys all know Adam, most of you. He's been in church, ministered, you know. Adam is no nonsense. He's hardcore. Adam was so hardcore, he never wanted anything fake in our church. And he when he was pastoring our church, I couldn't do this just because of liability, and people are human, and sometimes... He said, Kevin, I've seen a lot of people falling out. I wonder if the Holy Spirit's really laying all these people out. He said, we're going to have a no-catch rule in here. I said, what? He says, a no-catch rule. Because I want when God lays somebody out to be real. We're not catching them anymore. And if they hit the floor and get hurt, it's not God. Yeah. I own the building, you know, the liability. And it is true. Some people psychologically can talk themselves into that. And I said, well, Adam, so we had a no-catch rule. People were bouncing off, they weren't getting hurt. But I said, Adam, you know, it's a lot nicer if we just lay them down gently. But he was so adamant about things not being false. God love him. Yeah, just imagine that. We had hard floors there in that little church. Yeah, those were the days, I want to tell you. But we heard of a church in Owensboro, which was about 30, 35 minutes from Evansville. And they were advertising, they were having a special prophet or somebody come in that could interpret dreams. And he was charging money. And Adam heard wind of it, and he says, Kevin, you and I are going over there. Now, I knew we weren't going over there to get any dreams interpreted. I knew what this meant. Oh, I was stretched so much with Adam. You would not believe some of the situations we got into. And we went over there, and we went ahead before this person came, and we talked to the pastor, and we opened up scriptures, and if he's a true man of God, he's not going to be charging you money. The pastor, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and guess what? He stopped. He didn't let it happen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, this man, I'm not going to question whether or not he was gifted, but he was doing the wrong thing. You don't make it a business. My goodness, God help us. God help our church. We're in the last days. You're going to get a lot of this stuff. Churches in these last days can fall prey to this type of behavior. Not this one. Not this one. I want the real thing here. And if you get a gift of interpreting dreams, you give it as God leads. And I better not hear about you charging money for it. I guess I made my point clear. Amen. Amen. Beware of the endless, I already talked about endless books written, and they all have these cookie cutter interpretations. So when you have an unusual dream that stirs your soul to the point that you know it's different, let me give you some final instructions. Pray for God alone to show you what this dream means. Pray Jesus blocks dreams. You can be proactive. Pray Jesus blocks dreams and night visions that are not of Him. I know that. Emily and I have talked about that. Pray that he just blocks anything from the enemy when you go to bed at night. Ask the Lord to give you dreams from him so you can understand his heart and know more of what he is trying to say to you. There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord to come to you, give you a dream. If there's something he wants to say, you go to, it's between you and Jesus. And if he chooses to do it, it'll be a wonderful thing. Pray God gives you the ability to interpret your dreams from the gifting of the Holy Spirit. The Bible does encourage you to pray for these giftings. Now it's up to God whether he wants you to flow in them or not. But they, what did Joseph say? The interpretations from God. Pray you are obedient in what God is saying to you through dreams. So now there's a responsibility. If you go deeper and you begin to move in the realm of dreams, God is going to give you more responsibility with those dreams. He's going to give you more responsibility. So if he's warning you to warn someone in a dream and you know that you know that you know it's from him, then you better go talk to that person. I had a, gosh, Karen, if you're watching, you'll never forget this. My niece Karen, one time I dreamt, and I knew this was God. I saw my niece Karen laying in a casket. And Gail's looking at me like she's, I thought I told you about this. It disturbed me so bad because, you see, I knew why she was in the casket. She had a car accident, and she was killed. And the casket looked glass, like I could see into it and see that it was her. Karen is sensitive, and I knew if I called her, she was going to go into an endless loop of, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But I had to do it. And I called Karen. I said, Karen, I want you to watch your driving, especially in the next few weeks. Be really cautious at intersections. And she says, why, Uncle Kevin? And I told her, and she goes, oh, no. I said, Karen, I had to tell you. And she was cautious, and nothing happened to her. What if I hadn't done that? And what if something would have happened? Right? So you're going to have more responsibility if you operate in the realm of dreams from the Holy Spirit. He may have you head off danger. You may get something prophetic in a person's life. You may get a word of knowledge. Right? When I had the dream of Wesley Smith, a childhood friend that I hadn't seen in years, upset and trying to get a hold of me and trying to talk to me. He was all upset. And I woke up, I knew that time that was of God. And I prayed about it because I thought, I don't know how to get a hold of this guy. I don't know what happened to Wesley Smith. And I prayed about it. Within a week or so, another buddy of mine, Joe Black, married to my cousin, he says, guess who I ran into the other day? I ran into Wesley Smith, because he knew him too, growing up. And he really has been trying to get a hold of you. His father has died and he needs someone to talk to. Here is his phone number, and he lived right in Speedway. So when you are given dreams, there is a responsibility. The first thing you should do is hit your knees and pray about that dream. Pray about that dream. And God, if he's wanting you to act on that, he will help you. The Holy Spirit's a helper. It's another realm of the Holy Spirit that the church needs to be educated on and operating on, because it's all through the Bible, men and women of God all through the ages have been directed by dreams, and God has done great things. But know the difference between a God dream and another dream, okay? Well, I'm going to close this message. I don't even know how to close it, but I guess I will say this. If you're here today and you've had a dream and you've been having dreams and you don't know the meaning of them and you really haven't prayed too much about it, I want you to, you can come up and we will agree. I'm not going to say I'm up here to interpret everybody's dream, because I don't know that I have that gift. But we will pray about it and ask God to bring the true interpretation, if you're like that today. And we'll wait. If nobody responds, or if you want to respond, we'll, because God may be really wanting to talk to you in this thing. It may be very important. And if when we're done praying, or if people don't respond, then I'm going to have Marvin close the service out and pray for these needs up on the board. That's why I have them up here. And then we'll close the service. So are you like that? If you had a dream and you don't know what to do with it, let's at least put a stake in the ground of faith and pray for it. People are already coming. Everybody stand. Alex, I'm going to turn the music over to you at this time.